You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A survey from Family Planning of contraception users found that 5% experience obstruction of access to contraceptives from their health practitioners. Family Planning's report illustrated the struggle that many women deal with when going to GPs, who indicate their clear disapproval of their patients' choices and withdrawing preferred methods of contraception from patients. To find out more, I spoke to the president of Abortion Rights Aotearoa, Terry Balamack, about this and began by asking, were these results surprising to her?
No, not at all. This is entirely in line with what we've heard from people who talked to me about their abortion experiences, who talked to me about trying to access abortion under the old regime, and several of the complainants in our human rights complaint spoke of this kind of judgmental attitude from these busybodies in lab coats who think that they can pass judgment on people's sexual morality.
So is this doctors obstructing access to just abortion, or was it all methods of contraception?
It depends on the doctor.
I'm curious, were the demographics of the doctors who were obstructing access released?
No, I don't believe the demographics of the doctors were. I believe that the poll itself was of users of the system, so patients. They wouldn't necessarily know the demographics of the doctors.
Because it would be interesting to see whether it was perhaps an age thing or a gender thing or perhaps a religious reason for obstructing access to people seeking contraception.
I think it's probably all across the scale. I suppose the religious thing might be a bit more of a clue.
Now, when we say obstructing, what does that mean? Is that straight out refusing to give access to abortion or contraception, or are there ways that they're not refusing but making it extremely difficult?
There can be both. Both of those things can happen. And needless to say, the second thing is more difficult to detect than the first. What we have seen and what people have told me about were the times the doctors was just jerks to them. Dismissive and scoldy and disapproving and, treating them that like they were errant children and really behaving as though they had as though their patients had come to them for moral instruction as opposed to healthcare.
How can we amend that? How do we begin to mitigate this problem? Because you can't be in every doctor's room making sure that the doctor is being professional and helpful. Where do you start?
We start with the law. Now, the law now says that if you want abortion care, you don't have to go to your doctor at all. You can go straight to the abortion service, and I highly recommend it. But in cases, where you're going in and you want contraception, you have no way of knowing if your doctor is an objector or not. Now, the law now states that anyone who refuses a service, it must tell you that as soon as possible, and show you how to access the details of the nearest provider of the service that you just requested and were refused. So that goes, a little bit down the road towards addressing the issue. There's still the issue of being jerks. And that is really the part that hits people hardest.
You've called on the government to amend the Contraception, Sterilization and Abortion Act of 1977. What is it about this act that needs to be changed? Do you believe it should be illegal for doctors to refuse service to people because of their own moral objections?
I think eventually that's probably where this is going to end up, and that's a good thing. Right now, we're not there yet. Things that I would like to see changed in the Contraception, Sterilization and Abortion Act 1977 is I'd like to see a requirement for doctors to post in their waiting rooms or, on the web, and if they have a web presence, let people know that they object to, they refuse to provide certain services.
Family Planning also released a survey which said that 1 in 4 respondents were not using their preferred method of contraception. So this is when they have been able to get contraception, they're not using the one that they think is right for them. How has this happened? What are the social conditions that have facilitated? I mean, that's 25% of people. It's a big number.
Yeah, I think there's there might be several things going on here. There's, you know, a push to get, you know, everybody onto contraception who can possibly be on contraception. So, you know, if your method is not available, perhaps, you know, perhaps your practitioner is going to be suggesting that you try something else. I think that, and Al Rance believes that, you know, all forms of contraception should be free to everybody. So there is, you know, absolutely no copay. And, you know, my understanding is that Pharm Act now covers things like the Mirena, and there was another implant that was more, it was better accepted than the one that was previously funded. So ultimately, it comes down to people need to know their rights.
Would you say that to achieve that, there should be better sex education in schools? Would you, do you say that that's where it would start?
I think that is where it should start, and for you know, people coming up, for people growing up, that's, and you know, there's so much you can do with sex education to mitigate a lot of the harms that, you know, people in female bodies are subject to, including relationship education and, you know, teaching people what a healthy relationship looks like, because, you know, some people don't have experience of that in their lives. And at that young age, that can be really damaging. But I think this kind of education needs to happen, you know, all the way, you know, throughout the age spectrum. Because, you know, people my age, you know, sometimes, you know, don't even know what rights they have and, you know, what the state of play is in terms of, you know, what services you want to access. So, you know, better education in that realm, better information, making that information more available would be really good. Now, right now, the health department website, or rather the Ministry of Health website, they've got really good information on where to go to get abortion care. And that's, it's such good information that I wish it came up higher in the Google search.
One thing that people reported was being anxious to get their male partner to get a vasectomy, which is another form of contraception as well. Do you think that, how likely is it, do you think, that there will ever be male contraception that is widely acceptable? I mean, we've got condoms and there are vasectomies, but like, do you see there ever being something that takes the weight off people in female bodies at all?
That's a hard question, and unfortunately, the person who has the higher risk is the person who is more motivated to solve the problem, and the one who carries the pregnancy is the one who is risking far, she has far more skin in the game. So I think, regrettably, I think, you know, that kind of, you know, contraception might, you know, for a guy, might not have a lot of uptake unless it had absolutely no side effects. Whereas
right.
with, you know, with most forms of contraception that are perfectly acceptable to women, there are a few side effects, but it's so much better than the alternative.
Do you know if the stigma around a woman getting her tubes tied is the same as a man getting a vasectomy?
It's much less so, I believe. It's much more so for the woman getting her tubes tied. Because there's still a real resistance to women, exercising agency over their own bodies, especially a decision that, you know, is the medical community regards as irrevocable. And, oh, my God, you haven't had a kid yet.
Right.
There's a tendency to think that biology is destiny and every woman is destined to have kids, in spite of the fact that some women know from the time they're small that, no, I don't want to have kids. And that really makes no, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's all of a piece with the way women are infantilized under patriarchy. Whereas men are seen as able to make that decision. And also, to some extent, vasectomies are seen as somewhat reversible.
Right.
But yeah, you know, still, there, that kind of, I would call it, you know, benevolent sexism, really. It's interesting that it affects doctors here in New Zealand, where you can't really be sued for giving someone, for sterilizing someone, and then they change their mind. That's the thing that they're worried about in litigious places like, say, the States.
Right. Well, just back to the original survey about how 5% of people have experienced doctors obstructing their access. Is there anything else you would like to see happen besides the government amending the Contraception, Sterilisation and Abortion Act of 1977?
There, many forms of contraception could be available over the counter without a prescription and without really talking to the pharmacist because they're that safe. You know, the doctors who oppose providing contraception, a lot of them probably also oppose abortion. So it makes no real, you know, it's not logical and it's not scientific to refuse contraception if you oppose abortion, because contraception is the one thing, the one treatment that reliably reduces the abortion rate. They found that out in Colorado. They did a study where young women were provided with any kind of contraception they wanted for absolutely no charge, free. And amongst that group, abortions went down by 42%.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.